Will you open your Bibles with me to John chapter 8? John chapter 8, we're just going to be in three verses today. I know it just has two of them on the screen, but we're actually going to be in three of them. Verses 30 through 32 in John chapter 8 this morning. We are in the middle, really, of John chapter 8. You remember back, it started with the woman at the well. And all throughout this passage, Jesus is sharing who he is. And he's giving us glimpses, and giving those that were listening to him at the time glimpses of his majesty, of his power. Last week we talked about how he describes himself in terms that can only describe the Lord. That he describes himself in a way to let you know and let those know who were listening at the time that he is God in the flesh. That he has come to show man the Father through his actions, through his miracles, through his deeds. And to also show us what it means to truly follow him, to follow God. Today he's going to make a statement about the truth setting us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's kind of a tongue twister, I guess. And I've heard that used so many times in the world. Many universities will actually take that and put it as part of their little statement, the truth shall set you free. Many secular universities, you'll see it sometimes at libraries, you'll see it at all different places. And I often wonder, what the heck are they thinking? Because they don't believe that Jesus is the truth. That's what he was describing. You shall know the truth. You shall know Christ himself. You shall know God in all his ways. And the truth, God himself, will set you free. We're not talking about some truth that some unbeliever has come up with. We're not talking about some philosophy of worldliness that's come up. We're not talking about feeding your brain all sorts of knowledge and you will be set free. No, it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ will set you free. And so I want to talk to you today about how come so few people feel free. Why is it that so many that profess Christ as their Savior, who say they believe in the Lord Jesus, why are they still in bondage? What does it mean to know freedom, and how can we experience it? Now, there's no way in the short period of time we're together. I know sometimes my sermons seem long, but it's still a short period of time. There's no way in the short period of time that I could answer all those questions, but I can point you in the right direction. And pray that you will take to heart what is spoken. My desire is that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you. And that you would seek out freedom above all. To really know what it means to be set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And to walk in freedom and not bondage. Will you stand with me as we honor God in the reading of his word? John chapter 8, just three verses this morning, finishing up what he was speaking about. The scripture says, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning that you would open our eyes to what it truly means to believe you, to follow you, to walk in your truth, and to know freedom. Lord, and if there's any here this morning that have stopped short, I pray that you would open their eyes to see that there's more than they currently have. that there's more to knowing you than simply believing truths about you. Lord, I pray that you would take your word and just unleash your presence in this place and in our lives. And that because of the lives of the people here, Avondale would be transformed into your likeness. Our neighborhoods would be changed. Our friends and family and neighbors would know you as Lord and Savior and experience true freedom. Lord, I pray for revival in our country and for it to begin today in this place. I pray this in your power and your precious name. Amen. Will you be seated? Go to the next slide, please. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they struggle in every area of their life? They don't believe that they should have to go to church. They don't believe they should have to read the Bible. They follow the world and everything that it has for them in every way, and then tell you that they know Jesus. You ever had that experience? I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody that just involved in so many behaviors that are destructive. Okay, alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever it is, sex addiction, or just, hey, I'm just a good guy, and yet their family life, they doesn't seem like anybody in the house can stand each other. They're always screaming at each other. They hate each other's guts. Children, as soon as they grow up, can't wait to get out. In fact, they try to leave by the time they're 12. They're trying to be emancipated. You know, any situations like this, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone like this. And when I say, you know, I really want you to know Christ, they say, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And when I first became a pastor, I was very naive, I guess. And I thought it was just easy to see, black and white type thing. And then I got real confused. Wait a minute, this person says they know Jesus. They say believe in Jesus. Maybe what I thought was wrong. Maybe they really do believe in Jesus. But then when I got back into the scripture and read through and tried to understand this over and over, I realized, no, wait. Your simple understanding is what Jesus tells us. Go back two slides for me, or one slide. I want you to see something. Two slides. Yeah, I was right the first time. Go back another slide. Look at verse 30. So Jesus had been speaking, telling them who he is, about his relationship to the Father. And it says, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. And then it goes on to say, to the Jews who had believed him. So I want you to see the context. Everything that Jesus says here is to people who have put their faith in him and believe him. And yet, these same people, later on in the verses, as we'll see next week, he is confronting and telling them that they're going to go to hell. This is really important that everybody sees this. The pastor's not making something up here. According to what Jesus is telling these people, there will be many who say they've placed their trust in Jesus, who say they have faith in Jesus, who say they believe in Jesus, who will never know him, never experience freedom in him, and wind up for eternity being departed from him in hell. That's a scary thing. So if you've ever been totally confused because you know Christ and he's working inside your life, you see changes in your life, and you run into one of your family members who absolutely lives the most heathen lifestyle they could ever have, and they tell you, yeah, I know Jesus too, and it just totally freaks you out. Well, how can they know Jesus and I know Jesus? It doesn't seem like the same experience. It's okay. It's okay to let them know that they really don't know him. You're not being judgmental. I hear that all the time. Well, don't judge lest you be judged. Look, go back and read that passage. That's not what Jesus is talking about. The truth is, those who know Christ through salvation will follow Christ, will desire Christ, will know truth, will desire truth, will submit themselves to that truth, and they will be changed. Go to the first slide after. Anyway, keep going. Go on. Okay. As far as I can see, knowing Christ is not simple head knowledge of belief, saying a sinner's prayer, saying that you know Jesus. There's actually some process to it. There's a coming to accept who he is and believing he is who he is. Then there is a submitting to him, surrendering to him, and a understanding of his truth, allowing it to be applied to our life, and finally a freedom that comes from that. First of all, believe. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who believed him. You know, there's things that we have to believe in order to know Christ in salvation. There's things that we have to believe in order to know the freedom that comes from being saved. The assurance that Christ is our Savior. To begin with, we have to understand who he is. He is Lord. Okay, if you say you know Jesus and yet it freaks you out to think of him as Lord God, you don't know Jesus. You know a Jesus that you've made up in your mind. You don't know the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus who was before the earth and all of creation was ever even put into place. The Jesus who everything was created through and who everything was created for. The Jesus in whom we find our purpose and our being. The Jesus who is Lord. And in knowing him, that he is Lord, that he is God, we also recognize that we are not. Absolute sinners is what we are. Deserving of his wrath. Because how in the world could we take the King of all kings and thumb our nose at him for our whole lives and expect not to be cast out of his presence? We are sinners at our very core. We were born into sin. The Bible is very clear about this. There's no one innocent. How many times do we talk about the innocents? Oh, they're innocent. Nobody's innocent in God's sight. We can't go to God's throne and say, I deserve heaven. I don't deserve punishment. No, we're sinners. Our hearts are corrupt. We don't choose God on our own. These are basic truths of Scripture that are from Genesis to Revelation. All throughout the Scripture, it confronts mankind with his sin and shows God in his glory. And shows that the sin of man can't stand before the glory of God, that there had to be a mediator. Jesus then died for our sins. You see it throughout the Old Testament, weaved throughout the accounts of the Old Testament, through the prophecies of the Old Testament, that a Messiah would come and he would give his life so that all would be cleansed of their sin. The New Testament shows us who that Messiah is, Jesus Christ himself. If you don't believe any of these, then you don't know Jesus. So weird sometimes if you spend time reading the newspaper in the religion section. You ever sat and read the religion section in the newspaper? Try it sometime. You'll walk away wondering who in the world really knows Jesus. They'll give you all little bylines and biographies of different churches and things, and you just, I mean, what are they talking about? They're not talking about the fact of Scripture that we need to believe in Christ as Lord, ourselves as sinners, redeemed through the blood of Jesus. They're not talking about that. I don't know where they're getting what they're talking about. You have to believe, but you have to believe what Christ has told us about Himself. You have to believe what God has revealed to us in His Word. In order to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, in order to walk in freedom, belief is absolutely needed. But you see, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. If you're sharing Christ with someone and they say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus," that it doesn't end there. You see, I believe in my wife. I believe that she is an incredible woman. But if I don't submit to her being my wife, then we have no marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we're not on the same page where we submit to one another, wanting this marriage to survive and flourish, then we really have no marriage. She really is not a wife to me. She's just someone who lives in the same house as me. I've seen marriages like that. They don't work very well. In order to have a marriage that works and have freedom in that marriage, I submit to her. She submits to me because Scripture says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's more than just simply believing. Go to the next slide. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciple. He doesn't say, if you believe in my teaching, you're my disciple. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you're my disciple. A disciple was someone who didn't just believe the teacher, but surrendered their life for the teacher. If you look in the New Testament and you see about Jesus' disciples, you find they follow him wherever he goes. That he gives them things to do that they carry out. They gather the people together to hear him speak. They live like he does. In fact, he lets people know if you're going to follow him and be his disciple, you're not going to have a place to put your head. You're not going to have money in your pocket. You're going to be under constant persecution and harassment. His disciples were those who would give up their own will and plans, leaving behind their fishing. They dropped their nets to follow Jesus, the Scripture says. They dropped their nets. They let go of their plans. They let go of their career. They let go of the things that were planned out for them by even their parents to follow Jesus. They simply didn't believe that he was a great teacher. They showed it by following him. And there were times they faltered in that following. There were times they were scattered. But they still came back. If you follow me, he says, if you hold to my teaching, the things I say, if they shape your life, if you submit yourself to his authority, how can I, with confidence, and I don't mean like boasting, but I mean knowing that I'm standing on the right thing. How can I confront someone in their sin and tell them, I'm worried about you, you should be worried about you, because even though you are saying the words you know Jesus and love Jesus, your life is not showing it, and Scripture says you got to hold to his teaching. You have to persevere till the end. Those who persevere to the end shall be saved, the Scripture says. Not those who believed in Christ, but those who persevere to the end shall be saved. Is belief necessary? Absolutely. Is it essential? Yes, without a doubt. Okay? So I'm not trying to tell you that the verses that say you have to believe in Jesus are wrong. No, they are absolutely right. What I'm trying to tell you is true belief goes beyond that, to hold on to his teaching, to submit yourself to his authority, and your life is changed because of his activity in it. That's salvation. Those who hold on. And so when someone tells me, in the midst of never having any desire for the things of Christ in their life, and having every desire against every sin that the Scripture says we should be walking away from, when they sit there and tell me, no, I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I can tell them with a broken heart, tears streaming down my cheek, no, you don't. Not trying to judge you. Not trying to condemn you. I didn't come here for that. But I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to let you know that at your funeral, I won't be able to stand up and preach confidently that you're in heaven with Christ. I'm not one of those preachers, by the way. When I do a funeral of someone who's never shown any desire for Christ in their whole life, and the whole family tells me, oh, I know Daddy knew Jesus because he said he did, I'm not going to stand up there and tell the whole crowd Daddy knew Jesus. I just won't do it. Now, I won't say anything else either. So you don't have to worry about that. But I will not get up and say with confidence that I know this man is in heaven and that he loved Jesus even when everybody knows he never lived for him. I'll talk a lot about Jesus. I'll give praise to Jesus. But I have no idea what happened to that man's heart before he died. I just know what fruit came from his life while he lived. And I'm scared for his soul. If you hold to my teachings, you are my disciples. Submit. Submission is the mark of true discipleship. A humility, a brokenness, an understanding that Christ had to pay the price for me because I can't pay it myself. I have to have the Lord intervene for me because I can't do it myself. I have to depend on this Jesus because He is my rock and I have no other. Then you will know the truth. Notice the progression, Jesus says. Okay, they believed. Now He tells them, you must follow me. Then you will know the truth. You see, the truth is not revealed to those who will not submit themselves to the authority of Jesus. When somebody says to me, oh, I don't get anything out of the Bible, I think, I don't doubt that. You won't submit to what He has revealed. You see, if your heart is so hardened toward the truth of Scripture, then you're not going to be able to see what the truth of Scripture says. Because you're not going to do it anyway. That's why the Lord could tell Isaiah, go to a people who are ever seeing but never seeing, ever hearing but never hearing, ever perceiving but never understanding. Remember, years ago, somebody came to me and said, what does that mean? Did God force that on him? This man wanted to just like take that page out of the Bible. Didn't want to do anything. Just wanted to take it away. I said, haven't you ever met somebody like that? They have eyes. They have ears. They have a brain. And yet whatever you tell them that the Lord has said doesn't make any sense. They can read it themselves. They can listen to a sermon. They can listen to someone reading the Scripture. They can go to a Bible study. And yet it never makes any impact. How can one person sit in a Bible study, walk out and say, oh my gosh, that was incredible. And the next person go, man, that was a waste of 45 minutes. You ever wonder that? How can two people sit in the same pews and walk out with completely different ideas of what happened in that service? How come for some it doesn't matter what kind of music style it is, it doesn't matter who's leading worship, how come they can sit in every church and come out and just give glory to God having worshiped the Lord And others will be hypercritical and say, I can't go there because they don't worship the way I like it. Could it be that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free once you follow Him? That submission has to come for truth to be revealed. I don't know. I think that's what Jesus said. I could be wrong. He's not. But I do believe that's what Jesus is saying. To those who put their faith in Him, to those who believed, He tells them, now you have to follow Me. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth. Now, one last thing about this. If you're following Christ, you will want to know His truth. There's just no way around it. If you're following Christ, you will want to know His truth. I have never, ever, in the 12 years I've been a pastor and the 20 years I've known Christ, I've never, ever known someone who was growing in their faith, stronger and stronger, and weathered the storms and held on to Christ with all they had. I've never met someone like that who didn't also love the Scripture. Just never happened. I've known plenty of people who don't like the Scripture, say they know Jesus, don't really have a place for the truth in their life, and when trouble hits, spin out of control. But I've never met somebody who weathered the storm and you just looked at and went, man, I've got to find out how they did it. I want to pattern my life after them, which, by the way, is okay. The Apostle Paul told the church, follow Me as I follow Christ. Okay? Eventually, I want you just following Christ, but if you can look at my life and be, for Me to be an example to you, because you can see it in the flesh, follow Me. That's fine. And there have been so many people in my life that I've tried to pattern my life out. When I first started out with the Lord, I needed to figure out what this looked like, so I looked for people who had all the characteristics that I saw in the Bible of Jesus, and I sat under them, basically. Tell me how you did it. Tell me what God's doing in your life. Tell me so that I can walk like this too, because, man, I see in your life something that I need. In every case, they knew the Word. I mean, they loved the Word. They knew the Word. And the truth set them free. True disciple, their goal will be to know more about this Word. I've been walking with the Lord 20 years, and I open this Bible up and go, wow, I don't know anything. Please, Lord, teach me more. It's the only thing I've ever seen. And look, I have a PhD. I've spent so many years studying. I've read more scientific articles than you would ever want to read books. I mean, I have sat and studied and studied and studied. And it's an amazing thing. I can keep studying this book, and every day it's brand new. I've never come across anything that I could read more than three times without being utterly bored by it. Oh, yeah, I remember that page. Oh, yeah, I remember this page. I go to the Scripture, probably read the Psalms 1,000 times by now. Oh, Kristen, I don't think I ever saw this before. I mean, we say that to each other. Have you seen this? And then she'll look at it and go, wow, I don't know. Of course we'd seen it at some point. But the Word is alive. And the more I submit to Christ, the more I understand it. You will know the truth. And what happens when you know the truth? The truth shall set you free. Will. That makes it easier. The truth will set you free. Will set you free. Not might possibly set you free. Not will set you free, maybe, if God feels like it. It is truth. Truth sets you free. Period. Now, the great part is Jesus' truth. And so the Word is the truth of God in written form, Jesus being the truth of God in visible form when he was walking the earth. He is the truth. Knowing him, you will know the scripture. It will reveal itself to you. Knowing the scripture, he will be revealed to you. And it'll set you free. How does it set you free? How does the scripture set you free? I'll tell you how. We believe all sorts of lies that the world gives us. We believe what Satan has destroyed us with. And we think they're truths, but they're not. And so what happens is we live a certain way. How many times have you or heard someone say something like, well, my daddy always told me this? Okay, I've sat with people before. Well, my daddy always told me that. I remember so clearly sitting down with someone and talking to them about their racism. Couldn't stand the fact that I've mentioned this before. We had joint services with Mount Hermon Baptist Church, predominantly African-American church. We joined services one Sunday. This person never came to church since then. Sat down with them, tried to confront them with this attitude. Well, that's just the way I was raised. That's a lie of Satan. I don't care how you were raised. You are in bondage. You know how you're in bondage? Let's say racism. You're in bondage as much as the people that you're putting in bondage. You're in bondage yourself because your heart won't love. And when your heart won't love, you are destroying yourself. You are deciding ahead of time which people you can interact with. You are deciding ahead of time where you can go and where you won't go. You have limited life, and you don't even realize it. It's absolutely chains that are binding you, and you can't see it. You're in a cage of your own making. Think about it. If I'm racist, then I have limited myself to... It depends on what race I am, but I might limit myself to not knowing 3/4 of the earth. How much sense does that make? I've decided my culture is better. My culture may be only 6% or 2% of the world's population. And that's all I'm going to know about the world, is what I can see through my own culture. It makes no sense. Except if you believe that lie. But then you're confronted with the truth of Scripture. The Lord says, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Well, what do you do with that? That's what I said to this person. And then I also said, you realize that Adam and Eve were not white. What? Well, they say the Garden of Eden is somewhere in Iran or Iraq. You know, that was like the beginning of all. And last I checked, there's no people with skin color my color there. And I said, you realize that Jesus didn't have blue eyes. He definitely didn't have blonde hair. What? Think about Israelis. Think about the people of the Middle East. He would have been of a similar ancestry. He would have had a very similar skin color and hair color, and he definitely had dark eyes. And you don't read in Scripture about blue-eyed people. It just doesn't happen. Why limit yourself? What do you do when you come across things like this? You know what you do if you are following Christ? You submit yourself to it and experience true freedom. And realize that all those other people you used to hate, you can now love. And it changes you. When you put yourself under the restrictions that God has for you, you limit the damage to your life. When you say, Lord, those things that you find disgusting, I will find disgusting as well. The lying, the cheating, the promiscuity. I liked it the way I said it. the gossip, the slander, all these things, they'll be off limits to me too. Others will look at you and say, why are you restricting your freedom? Recently, Kristen and I got to go out and visit with some friends of ours from graduate school. We hadn't seen them in 17 years. 17 years we hadn't seen this couple. And it was so nice to see them. And one of the days, Nancy and our family went together, Kristen and the kids and I. And then the next night, Kristen and I went out with them. And one of the first things they had to do was get to the alcohol. Let's order a beer, let's order wine or whatever. And it was weird to me because I hadn't been around anybody at a restaurant who had ordered a glass of anything except water and soft drinks probably in about 15 years. It was, okay. It was fine. But it just struck me. They seemed very bound by it. I haven't had a drink in 15 years or something like that. And when I have conversations with folks, they make it sound like since you're Baptist, you can't. And I think you're looking at this the wrong way. Since Christ set me free, I don't have to. Okay, this is the key here. If you want to know freedom in Christ, realize that His ways set you free. Because I know Christ, I don't have to. I can walk away from that. I don't feel like I can't have fun unless I sin. It's a pleasure to not have to sin. The truth will set you free. The truth doesn't put you in bondage. That's what the world tells you so you won't listen to Jesus. Don't listen to Jesus. If you do, there are things that you won't be able to wear anymore. There's things you won't be able to say anymore. He'll restrict you. Some people call God a giant killjoy. I think you don't understand God at all. He's a giant joy releaser. Because He'll put to death all that bondage that you have in your life. You don't have to be what you're told to be by parents, by teachers, by brothers and sisters, by neighbors, by friends, by the world system. You don't have to be what others tell you to be, because in Christ you can be what He has for you to be. Completely different thing. You get to fly around like a butterfly, not be chained to the sin of this world. Instead of hanging out with everybody else and living in destruction. The wonderful thing. Life Application Bible. I don't know if you've ever seen a Life Application Bible, a study Bible. They're great. There's also a commentary, Life Application Bible commentary, and it had this to say about this. It said, Jesus' sacrifice did not free us to do our own thing. Rather, He freed us from doing our own thing so that we could serve Him. I am free in Christ, and I can freely worship and freely serve and not have to be shackled by worrying about others, not have to be shackled by expectations that others place on me. I can live for Him and not have to impress others. I've been set free of all that. Not so that I can do whatever I want to do, but so that I can submit to Him more fully every single day and grow in this freedom. The question this morning is, last line, are you free? Have you stopped short somewhere along this path? And I can tell you, we all stop short on this path. It's just, are you consistently seeking out the end result? Do you want to experience more and more freedom? Jesus said two things that completely rocked me. First of all, He said, you will be set free. Second of all, He said, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. And this is what I ask people all the time. Are you living that full life? Are you experiencing that freedom? If not, you've stopped short at some place. First of all, make sure that you believe. Do you believe who He is? Do you believe what He's done? Then submit to that. Make Him Lord of all. Every area of your life. And go to His Word and learn the truth and let the truth be your guide. Let it shape who you are. Let God, in His presence through His Word, put your feet on the right path. And then, enjoy it. Don't look at following Christ as a bunch of things you have to do to impress Jesus. No, just enjoy the freedom that you have to not have to be in bondage to all those things that you used to be in bondage to. Freedom. Joy. That should be the result of a life lived for Jesus. Let's go to Him in prayer.